come in and sit with us. We're four friends, talking, thinking, and laughing. We take on the absurd and the profound, sometimes both at once.
And we speak about aging because, oh, yes, we're living it, feeling it in our bones. First time for all of us.
And we don't plan to go quiet. We prod, we tease, we wander down strange roads. A story here, an argument there, a joke, maybe a truth.
Dylan Thomas said it best, "Do not go gentle into that good night." We won't. We'll burn, we'll rage, we'll keep moving. We'll take care of each other as we go.
Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick.
Welcome to Seniors in the Building. Today we're starting with a simple but surprisingly complicated question. What is a senior? It's a word we hear all the time in health, advertising, housing, government programs, but what does it really mean? Is it just about age, retirement, a slower pace of life? Or is it a label that shapes how others see us and how we see ourselves? A personal anecdote, in the last week, twice, two people have told me that they didn't like the word senior. Well, when we put the title of the podcast together, Seniors in the Building, we just took it for granted that everybody knows what the word senior means. Mm-hmm. But one individual, 72 years old, was offended by the word senior and didn't think of himself as a senior. And then another individual whose age I don't know, at the coffee shop, said, "Senior." I asked him, he says, "Well, I wouldn't think of myself as a senior." But he looked to be a senior.
Yeah.
So anyway, the question before us today is, what do you think a senior means in your life? Mm-hmm. So I'll throw it open to everybody and anybody, though there's only three others in the room.
Well, I guess just initially my thought on what your personal anecdotes is that some people find the whole term rather negative, see mm-hmm. it in a negative light, and they don't want it applied to them, which I think says something about, in general, not everyone, but in general, there are people out there who feel it is not a positive title to carry on in any way.
So, should we change the name of the podcast?
No.
We're stuck on it.
I think we need to change how we understand the word rather than change the title of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm not suggesting it.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, like, we sort of talked the other day and did a bit of checking, like, that the word, the root is from a Latin word that usually has a positive implications, and words like senator, seniority come from that, and that those usually, if you have seniority, that's supposed to be a good thing. We were attending one of our granddaughter's dance competitions, and one category is senior dance, which usually means they are the more mature, polished, practiced ones who've been doing this for years and years. So it has that positive connotation, but somehow when it's applied to people of a certain age, it seems to get this rather negative connotation. I don't know, that's my initial thought, but what do you think of when you hear the word senior? I wonder what we think of, maybe.
I think one of the issues about that word is that typically it takes in everyone from the ages of 65 to death, over 100, and they're seniors. And we don't really have another term for those of us who are in our 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, those might be better breaking down those ages and having different sort of categories for them might make more sense. Part of the issue for me is that I've never thought of myself as a senior until I started getting called one out and about. And I I don't have a sense of myself as a senior. So I'm kind of with that other person that you were talking about, Jack. I don't see myself as a senior, yet chronologically by age, I am. So I think we need to kind of unpack that word and maybe look at it in terms of, you know, are you... You're a senior at 65, but what does that mean, a senior at 65, as opposed to a senior at 91, like my mother is?
You know, 10 years ago, I was having a conversation with one of my grandchildren, and I said, I guess I'm a senior now that I turned 60. And she says, oh, Grandma, you're a young senior. And I just wanted to turn and hug her so much, right? Because I kept thinking about that thought, and I've carried that thought with me. I'm a young senior, so I'm still okay with the senior word.
Yeah.
Because I recognize where those markers were, right? Well, when I
an age.
Well, exactly, because I was almost 50 when I became a grandmother, right? So I figured in some ways that also, even though I was just barely 50, that was the first marker to being a senior. Right, the grandparent, and then the illnesses, and you know, so it went through all of these different. I went through all of these different markers, but she was able to reframe it for me. She was able to say, "It's okay that you're a senior, Grandma, but you're a young senior. You think differently. You know." And so I interpreted it that way, that I think differently.
Oh, that's cool.
I act differently, and so I've been a young senior, but now that I've turned 70. I'm starting to think, am I still a young senior? I don't know what to do with that yet.
Well, the Latin, which is where the word originates, is senex, and it means older or elder. Mm. And in the Latin and probably the Greek world, that meant respect, precedence, or authority due to age and experience. So the question for me that I raise in my own mind is, what happened? How is it that in North American culture, senior is rather, it's like we're a residue. Mm. We're left over. And I think part of the reason is capitalism. That is, we no longer accumulate capital through our vocations and therefore are dismissed somewhat in terms of value. We no longer are wage earners. So what are we?
Yeah, we're not productive.
We're not productive.
We're not making anything.
Yeah, so like the Protestant work ethic is just...
Yeah.
We're done.
And then often understood as a drain on society somehow, rather than as a contributor,
Or a resource.
To
be drawn upon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and then you think of the Senate, both in the Canadian context and the American context. Well, the Senate is full of 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
And ironically, the less complimentary term that derives from senex is senility.
Yes.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good point. Yeah.
You know, somewhere along the way, being a senator was something that was respected, right? You were the person with wisdom, and so you could be the last one standing in an issue or whatever. And so maybe that's where that political side of it came from, you know, that's why they always just appointed old people, right, to be senators. So in some ways, we've lost a bit of that too, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think because, and I want to be the devil's advocate here, because I think that because we were such a large cohort,
well, right?
The boomers, right? They have they've subsumed the whole culture of our North American culture anyway, and life and everything. And so I just wonder if it's overwhelming to have us, this very large demographic, and to lose respect for that because they've been overwhelming the rest of North America for so long. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility, right? To sort of say, maybe they just had enough of the.
Of course, the term boomer now is rather derogatory, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, boomer. You know, it's
caused the problems.
On the other hand, when I look at how boomers are aging, they are sort of changing the model for aging. They are, we are, have been, much more demanding in terms of being seen in, I mean, that's the flip side of kind of what you're saying, Elaine, that, and we are, we expect more from the healthcare system, from, we can pay our way much more readily than I think generations before us could in retirement, because we've earned pensions and we might have money that we're getting annuities or whatever from. I think we have more disposable income than seniors and generations before us have had. But I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess in some ways I read that as somewhat privileged then.
Yes.
It is privilege, so for sure.
So then, yeah, so I'm wondering if privilege is also getting in the way, right, of a positive experience or a positive rendering of being senior, right? So I don't want to get bogged down in that, but I'm just sort of saying that that was a marker for me to recognize my privilege, my culture, my life has enabled me to be at the top of what's going on in society. And so I recognized that I became a senior by some of that experience and some of that conversation over the years.
Well, I wonder then if some of the perception of a senior is not just non-productive, the negative perception, but also that we're seen as people who are standing in the way. You know, we're blocking things. We're inhibiting progress. Maybe one example I could think of is how sometimes people our age category refuse to adopt new technology. So new technologies and that are emerging. Younger people are trained and educated in it, knowledgeable in it, and then they run up against us who want to resist those changes. And I wonder if that contributes to the negative perception about it.
And I wonder, too, whether our project now is to damn well define what senior is for us and not let what used to be a predominantly youth culture define us as somehow in decline or independence. Mm-hmm. Independence mm-hmm. on others. Plus, I think from a millennial perspective, my son and daughter, you know, we can't puff our chests out as we might want to with, well, we've got pensions. They'll never have a pension. Or we own a house. They may never own a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's
and that is really hard to take.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ties in with the idea of privilege or that we're standing in the way. Yeah.
So do we need to become sort of
advocates
for
a more level playing field?
Maybe, yeah. Something like that where we need to react and reject sort of the mainstream boomer.
Yep.
Privilege, money, blah blah blah, and do something different? Is that what I'm hearing? I don't know.
Yeah, to be the facilitators of social good rather than somehow just concerned for our own cohort or our own individual success, you know, to broaden our understanding.
Well, and I think that's what this podcast is about, right? In some ways, we're trying to broaden our own understanding of who we are as seniors and also to touch society in that way, because we've actually, by doing this podcast, we're actually breaking that sort of stereotype of seniors not being engaged in the technology of today, right? Mm-hmm. We're saying, no, we want to be part of whatever's coming alongside of us, whatever generations are behind us. We want to be part of that, right? We don't want to be dragged kicking in the street screaming into the future. We want to be walking alongside. And some of what you said, Rick, I think is helpful for us to sort of understand that we are not a separate group. We are to be walking alongside each other. And in some ways, again, it goes back to our original purpose too, right? That we are going to care for one another through this aging process, right? Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, I mean, just because you said there that comment, a separate group, maybe part of the problem we have is the categorization of people in different age categories or generational cohorts, and that creates artificial divisions that really don't need to be there or shouldn't be there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I guess it kind of gives me leave to kind of insert into the rest of society, even though I might be labeled a senior. You know, there are parts of my life where being a senior is actually kind of cool, right? Because grandparenting teenagers, you know, they have their issues with their parents, right? But they say things to me that they wouldn't say to their parents, right? Or they might, but in a different way or whatever. And, you know, they just, oh, well, grandma won't say anything, right?
I think in some ways we're swimming upstream. Even though we might be a major cohort in society today,
yeah,
as baby boomers, there's still an intense emphasis on youth, on innovation and speed. Mm-hmm. Well, I am slowing down, personally. I mean, I don't mind the word senior because it seems to have come on me rather quickly and unexpectedly when suddenly I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I became
issue, yeah.
dependent.
But why is that a senior issue? There are many in many age groups who
can't walk,
have those issues come on them too. So health issues are not, I mean, seniors tend to maybe...
They talk about it more.
Yeah. And they may have what more health issues that are cumulative from a long life, but there are many... many people in the world who have health issues who aren't seniors. So I'm not sure having health issues is a marker.
No, but I was speaking personally for me.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand you're talking personally.
I'm not talking
you.
About the culture at large.
Mm-hmm. Well, the decline of health and ability certainly factors in.
Yeah.
I was doing some minor repair work, having to lay on the floor yesterday to do it, and every time I had to get up, I thought, why is this so hard?
Exactly.
Get up off the floor.
Shouldn't hurt when I'm getting up off the floor. But so that I think is part of it. But again, that's seen as a bit of a negative, right? And there's only one way you're going, downhill, and it's going to get worse. So, sorry, I'm not being very positive here.
But unless, what I was reading something the other day in terms of, you know, flexibility, strength, and stamina, that all comes from continuing to go to the gym, continuing to do things that keep your body functioning. Yoga is a great one for flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I don't do enough yoga, but I do like yoga. And it is, I think there, again, in another podcast, we talked about mitigating some of those aging factors that I think that's what the boomers are trying to do. I mean, that's where I'm coming from in terms of they are not just sitting back. They are really working to stay vital and healthy. And I think we're doing that, too.
And they're talking more about death and dying
than
I think the previous generation did, right? I think it was kind of whitewashed for so long in the system, right? And so trying to debunk this youthfulness, right, in some ways. So,
well, I think...
I know there's still privilege that's involved in it, and I take your point there, but I do think that when I'm saying that the boomers are trying to age differently. That's kind of what I'm talking about, is they're taking it head on and trying to mitigate some of the things that put people in long-term care or in assisted living or needing to have a lot of supports. And again, I think of my mother, who is still in her own home. I know I keep talking about my mother. Jack is rolling his eyes. But, you know, how many people can say, I've lived in this house since I was married, and I'm still doing a garden, and I still, you know, make my own meals, and I still drive my car, and she's been fortunate enough to have good health. And, I mean, that was from really working at trying to mitigate aging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what we're doing here with the podcast is we're trying not to be disengaged from technological culture.
Yeah.
By the way, we are now on TikTok and YouTube, and I found it fascinating with the help of my son to learn how to post there, because TikTok has its own language.
Yes.
Like Delulu, man. Or, no, you can't use man. That's our generation.
Man. Yeah.
Delulu is a short form of delusional, which is a good thing. Like, you're delusional. Or the word I...
Slay.
Slay. Yeah, thank you. I've forgotten it.
It slay. Just caught me when you said that earlier, and I thought, I got to know what that word is about.
Slay is... You're killing it.
You're killing it. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So is that what we're doing?
We're trying. We're trying.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But I think in some ways, we're not trying to label ourselves as seniors so much as we're trying to live a senior's life in some ways. I guess maybe, and it doesn't have to be seniors, but to live an older person's life in a different way than perhaps the generation before us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're trying to do that. And just having a conversation with one of my sons too, who listens to the podcast, and he said, I'm learning so much about you. I never knew
right.
things, right?
Yeah.
I'm learning some things about how you think, the way you look at your world. Like it's like everything else, all of our family time seems to be taken up with checking in with each other or doing an activity together or whatever. And now I'm at the point where I'm actually learning a lot about my mother that I didn't know before, right? And so I think in some ways we're trying to show that generation after us that in getting into seniorism, senior, whatever you want to call it, aging, that we're showing them what that could actually mean, that it could be bigger than what it's been before.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the stereotype, the negative stereotype, right? It can be something. Maybe that's part of what we're trying to do here by sharing this wisdom, this knowledge.
Well, there is,
or we're fooling
whatever
ourselves.
It is. Yeah. But some places I've heard it referred to as Act Three,
or active living, or yeah, Act Three.
Oh, sort of like in terms of, like if you think of a theater
stages.
Metaphor,
yeah.
Yeah, life stages.
Yeah,
okay.
You have Act One, you have Act Two, you have Act Three.
And
okay.
So then what is Act Four? Death, right?
So this is the final scene.
That could be.
Now let's not go there
the
yet.
Climax,
okay.
Stay away from that, Jack.
Yeah, the thing that ties everything together.
But
to look at positively.
It doesn't, well, I mean, mm-hmm. if we're looking for new language,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're saying, is we are entering sort of the last phase of our life, no question about that, and mm-hmm. how to do that as quote-unquote seniors mm-hmm. is what we're looking for. And I don't think we're alone, but I do think that trying to express what we're exploring and looking for it can resonate with those that are younger.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be
yeah.
just about being seniors. It can resonate with everybody who's searching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that is a surprise when we look at some of the people who have so far listened to our podcast. They're not all just people our age demographic. Surprisingly, people who are younger, like, yeah, some of our
children
or in-laws, and who'd speak positively about it. That's the other thing. It's not sort of, let's listen out of obligation, but more like they're gaining something from this, which to me is a bit of a surprise, and maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, yeah.
Well, maybe we need to delve, and maybe I need to delve further into the whole positive connotations around the notion of being a boomer, for example. There's a magazine I bought a copy of a year or two ago. It's long standing on the bookshelves. It's called Zoomers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so we're Zoomers, damn it. We're yeah. not just boom, just
the boomer demographic.
Boomers,
yeah.
Seniors,
boomers.
Yeah.
You know, I was sharing a little bit about my conversation with my son, and remember we said we were gonna contact our kids and say,
yeah.
what do you think a senior is, right?
Oh, right.
And the first response back was, a person that we need to better understand the reasons for why they do the things they do and are the way that they are. An experienced person with life knowledge that we need to communicate with to gain that knowledge and understanding. And then, as a joke at the bottom, an old person. And I asked the question, mysterious, old, and wise. And the other person's, another person in the thread said, storyteller, teacher, like Obi-Wan and Yoda.
If you're into Star Wars, yes.
If you're into Star Wars, sorry. Anyway, those were good reflections, right? Thinking about that.
Yeah.
Again, the negative connotations, I think, float around so much that it does tend to leave us with the notion that there is nothing positive. And sometimes maybe, again, we need to look at what is it the benefit? What is the positive about being a senior? You know, I mean, even part of our conversation here about pushing back against the stereotype tends to give the impression that, yeah, there's such a large negative stereotype, you really need to attack that, which I'm not saying is wrong, but can we, rather than speaking against the stereotype, is there a way to say, okay, we are seniors, this is what this means. Maybe it means we use different terminology. Maybe it means that we talk about how we still
Zoom
contribute, are active, are not liabilities.
So how would that take shape? Because I'm still thinking of, when I think of a senior, I actually think of someone who's much older than me.
Yes, there you go.
Shouldn't laugh too loud.
Well, but I do. Yeah. I think of seniors as somebody who is, if I think of my own stereotype in my own head, somebody who does need help, somebody mm-hmm. who does live in a place where they get that help.
Right.
And congregated with other people who also need help. And I don't, and much older than me. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true, but that is what is in my head. So I need to change my own sort of sense of that in my own head.
So I want to share, you were talking about what's positive about that, right? So I think one of us picked this magazine up called Senior Scope, right? And I couldn't believe how many things to do just in my town for seniors, like the kinds of things. Lifelong learning, hanging out with each other and building community, going to the library together and looking at books and talking about books and being engaged in those kinds of things. I mean, there's also support services that are out there too that you can go and see. There's also an active living center where you can be engaged in all kinds of classes, everything from Zumba, games, painting, aquasize, you know, like, so. And of course, pickleball, right? Because you know that's the latest trend, right?
Around it.
But I looked at that and I thought, two full pages in this magazine describes all the things that seniors can do, right? And it's so beautiful to sort of see that stuff right in front of me. And I started to circle things and, you know, kind of look at that and say, you know, it isn't so negative.
But all the seniors don't do that because they're swimming upstream against a culture that still values youth. But that doesn't mean we ought not to strive for that.
Yeah.
It's just that we are against certain forces that idealize youthfulness, speed, strength, all of which, in my life at least, are diminishing.
Would you want to go back there? Like, that's,
no, I wouldn't. No.
There's a time to be young and there's a time to be older, and yes, that comes with time. And we, I have actually picked up that magazine quite a few times and looked at it. And I think there is a vibrant senior community here, or community that involves mature people who are no longer working, who get together and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to talk about speed, right? I can still outspeed my kids and my grandkids. You know that game where one of you had your hands down in front of you, and the other one had them up? I still beat them at that. I've been doing that for like 40 years with the kids. That sort of like, and I think to myself, now when am I going to lose that reflex ability, right? The kind of, when am I going to be able to say, oh, darn, they're going to beat me someday, you know? So I guess I keep holding on to that as something really silly about speed, right?
Yeah. Well, my thought is that it allows for freedom. Once you, say, have aged out of your occupation or career that often has certain restrictions and high demands on your life, there's a certain freedom. And I think some of that freedom is in, say, being able to, you know, contribute by volunteering, say, at a food bank, at a shelter, engaging in a protest. A number of protests at the legislature here that we attended over the years, I noticed there are a large number of young people, whether it was about climate or whether it was about Black Lives or trans and LGBTQ issues. And then there was a bit of a gap, and then there was a significant, notable amount of seniors there as well. It seems like the people in between are just tied up more with, responsibilities around jobs. They're in Act Two. And they just don't have the time or energy to devote to that as much. But we do. And we can be a positive influence that way. A positive force, I think. Either by doing something more quietly, like, say, helping with, again, a food bank, a refugee sponsorship or so on, but also in a larger capacity, perhaps, too, politically and so on. Yeah.
I think I keep, in my own mind, getting back to the cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when I think of other cultures, like China and India, which I've had experience in, China not at all, but there, elders are conveyors of wisdom. I mean, the Native American tradition is that.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to really embrace the fact that we carry wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in learning TikTok language, which I didn't know existed 2 days ago, and I've only learned a few words, but what kids are doing are embracing the malleability of language.
Yes.
Changing it, making it their own.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that sense of wisdom carriers is so much lost in North American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's unfortunate. For example, the notion of, maybe I lost it. The notion of, we'll have to cut that.
Okay.
drew a blank.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think that... we had this conversation, I think, a little bit earlier about...
you mean we're repeating ourselves?
No, the idea about what's happening in Asia and some of
the cultural context
kind of stuff, right? And I think that there was, some really positive aspects about that, like family's important... respect for elders is important, and hierarchical social relationships, right? And I was thinking about that in terms of, so does that come as a result of colonization, like this respect for elders, or was it always there?
I think in China it goes back 4,000 years.
So it's disappearing as a result of?
It's disappearing as a result of, and then fill in the blank. I think largely it's capitalism.
Okay.
That is such a heavy value on the accumulating of capital no matter what,
mm-hmm.
as we're seeing in different places in the world, irregardless of ethics or morality.
Yeah.
That you're placed on a pedestal if you're a billionaire.
Yeah, and that gives you power and influence. It
gives you power and
control,
influence.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say is carriers of wisdom came back to me.
Yeah.
Now am I going to remember it again? Yes. The carriers of wisdom, like this whole notion of a TikTok language, a subculture that is appropriating and creating its own language. Well, who did that during my lifetime, and some of you, though? Beatniks.
The countercultural movement.
Countercultural beatniks.
Hippies, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. They had their own language.
Yeah they mm-hmm. did. Yeah.
And that was that gives them empowerment and distinctiveness.
Yeah.
In the culture.
Groovy, yes.
What are we saying then? What are we saying? That every
generation?
Every generation has their own way of
Well, that was more like a subculture, not a generation. But
counterculture.
Yeah, counterculture. Yeah. So maybe Zoomers need to develop their own language.
You think that we haven't already, though?
I think we have.
Like?
I think there is.
I have to think about it, but I think...
Or maybe we just have nostalgia for the way it used to be and figure that's our culture, which I tend to resist that.
I do too. I think that for me, that's the one thing about being a baby boomer that disturbs me a lot, is how often nostalgia enters into the culture of our age group, right? For example, on Facebook, right? Oh, we list the songs from our youthfulness.
And they were the best songs.
They were the best songs. This was the best place in the world to be when I was, you know, and they just keep going back to old songs, old stories, old, you know, and it just like, in some ways, I'm like Rick, I want to resist it so much. Not that I despise it, but I want to resist it so much. And I realized in some ways, I've been unintentionally resisting it as we come closer and closer to our... We just surpassed our 70th birthdays, and now we're getting ready for celebrating 50 years of marriage, right? And so one of the things that we thought we'd do is looking at photos and trying to figure out, right?
Nostalgia.
Yeah, it's nostalgic, right? That whole action of looking at photos, thinking about the songs that were written in certain decades of our lives, all of that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've turned into an old person.
Yeah.
You know, being nostalgic.
Well, and maybe that's why we, Signe and I, have boxes and boxes of photos that every now and then Signe says, I got to go through those. And I go, I'm not going to be with you because I can't stand looking at it. But digitization makes it easier.
Yeah.
Maybe just send them off to these places that digitize and you can just go zoom, zoom through them.
Well, many of them are just doubles of everything. So First of all, I can throw half of that out and still have everything.
And it got worse with digital photos, right?
Did. And boxes of CDs of wonderful artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now on Spotify, everything's there at your fingertip.
Yeah.
Get rid of those too.
You know, in the last move, we got rid of a lot of our old records, our vinyls, CDs,
cassette
tapes, and etc. We just thought this enough is enough. And we did it by sitting with our grandchildren. Remember sitting on the floor in the basement, and we'd say to them, what do you think about this? Do you want it? No. Okay. And it went into that going out kind of thing. It just got thrown out, right? Because we sort of thought, these kids know what we love. They've listened to our music their whole lives, because they've had to when they're in our home. And so now we can get rid of the device that holds the music.
Did you get rid of 8-tracks?
Years ago, I remember 8-tracks.
Yeah. He had lots of them.
But I wonder if that's part of the wisdom that we can carry, the idea of what is valuable, what is not. What do we need to hold on to?
Absolutely.
What can we let go? Yeah. And maybe that's one of the biggest sets of wisdom we can pass on and embrace.
But it's also more personal than that, in that as you're getting rid of them, you know that there's another source to access them. I was just thinking in terms of embracing new technology and embracing new ways of listening to music and new and old that we all like, watching movies, you can find anything on in archives.
If
you pay a few dollars, you've got all of The West Wing. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have it on CDs. You can have it in your library on your Apple TV. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's one of the components of wisdom that we carry, that we ought to have learned by now, and I'm not saying we all have, to savor what has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, to savor those memories, not necessarily in huge boxes of pictures, but we should be able to savor life because we've been through a lot in 70 or more years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, that's interesting. I was thinking about... how important it was to Rick's mother for me to have china, right? And so constantly added to my china, right? And then it got so I was like, why do I have all this china? I don't use it enough, right?
Yeah, fine china, yeah.
Fine china, and I thought I would get rid of it, right? So I thought, well, first offer to the kids. None of my children or spouses wanted it, right?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, they don't want it, I'm going to use it every day. So we bought a new set of everyday dishes that only have four plate settings, right? So if we put all those settings in the dishwasher one day, we have to go to the fine china and use it, right?
Yeah, or if we have a larger family gathering, it's the fine china that comes out
and goes into the dishwasher.
In other words, it's useful.
It's useful, right? But here's the interesting thing. One of our grandchildren comes to stay with us once a night, every couple of weeks, right? And they dearly love us to eat with the fine china and the fancy glass with milk in it.
Yeah.
And they're 20 years old. Yeah. And they're just loving that we put all this everyday.
Yeah. It looks special.
Special. It's made their time together. So in some ways, that's savoring,
you know,
what we've built up.
And that's the whole thing. As we've done all these moves, I discover things that I had or have, and I'm thinking, use it or get rid of it. And so things that I wasn't going to use, I got rid of, and things that I now use regularly, like your china, like you're saying, keep. And when you no longer use it, it goes.
Yeah.
And I think that's that
so,
works
so
for me.
Being a senior partly is savoring the life that we have lived and the life we still have.
And also I think I'm a sports nut or a collectible nut. So I've got a lot of sports memorabilia, and I still enjoy looking at the hockey cards from the 1970s. I don't know why, but I know that those teams that won numerous Stanley Cups, so I don't want to just jettison that, but at the same time nobody wants it. So
but it's still a conundrum. Value.
Save
but
your favorite players and get rid of the rest.
Yeah, well, I still
and
have a
savor
big,
that you collected them.
And I have a big picture of Frank Mahovlich from Toronto.
Good old Frank.
That my mother had sent
we
away
have
for.
Moved five
for me.
Times. Yeah.
And it keeps moving with us.
Well, it was a great player, so there. Yeah, so.
Anyway, I guess our time is up. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, and please let us know what you think a senior is. Since you can tell from having listened that we haven't got a clue. We're working on it.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RRS Feed Community, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design. As well, thanks to Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input, and we appreciate the support of all of our families in this endeavor for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral four, followed by seniorsinthebuilding, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, stay curious and hopeful.